think it's providential that it is providential that I picked this passage tonight, not knowing that Jeff was going to also use it in his sermon this morning. So I hope I won't cover anything that he already covered. But let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and reading verses 1 to 5. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And just again to hear verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage tonight, that you would remind us again of your promises, that you are faithful, and that everything in your book is true, and we can rely upon them. And so I pray you would help me to speak your truth clearly tonight through the work of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Deforestation without sustainable reforestation practices can have devastating effects on any country. The effects of deforestation include destroys biodiversity, it impacts ecosystems, and apparently in our world today, every year, about 19 million acres are lost. That's equivalent to about 12% of the province of Alberta in the world each year is lost forest on the planet, on our planet, on Earth. Yeah, because there's no trees in Mars. We know that. So then, this loss of forests can cause it's not only through clear cutting. It can be through fires and so on. So what's happening? Sometimes it's natural processes, and sometimes it's deliberate. And of course, to protect against these practices, governments will set aside vast areas as national parks to protect these important natural assets. And of course, even governments, though, can fail to preserve such areas perfectly. Now, a case in point recently was when 38 whitebark pines, which are endangered, were cut down near Lake Louise Resort within Banff National Park. Now, whitebark pine trees apparently have to grow about 60 to 80 years before they have any significant number of cones. They are important for animal habitat, and they're mostly found in subalpine slopes, so around the tree line, the Rockies, for example. And these trees apparently can live for 500 to 1,000 years. Now, our federal government may not have been perfect in protecting the whitebark pines, but certainly the fine for cutting those 38 trees down was significant, because it worked out to about $55,000 per tree, because the fine was $2.1 million that the resort is going to have to pay. So deforestation is a big problem, And the government really didn't protect them very well because the trees are gone. And maybe those trees were there for who knows how long, 500 years, I don't know. If we go back to the kingdoms of Judah and Israel centuries ago, they were going to experience social deforestation. And the kings and governments of the day were not going to be able to protect them perfectly because they were going to be clear-cut socially. Isaiah was given a vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And the Lord, Yahweh, he proclaimed through his prophet that his people were children I have reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. The empires of that world in that day, the Assyrians and later the Babylonians, were about to fulfill their role as an instrument of the Lord's deforestation judgment. From chapter 5 of Isaiah, verses 26 to 29, we read this: He will raise a signal for nations far away and whistle for them from the ends of the earth. And behold, quickly, speedily they come. Their arrows are sharp and their bows are bent. Their horses' hooves seem like flint and their wheels are like the whirlwind. Their roaring is like a lion. Like young lions they roar, and they growl, and they seize their prey. They carry it off, and none can rescue. And then from chapter 6, verses 11 to 13, Then I said, How long, this is Isaiah, Then I said, How long, O Lord? And he said, Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of their land, of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. In this season of Advent, now I don't know if you know this or not, maybe you do, the word Advent that we have in English comes from the Latin Adventus, which means arrival, and Adventus comes from two words, ad, which means to, and venir, which means come, arrival. So in Advent, we have this contrast. In this passage, we have this contrast because the nations that God whistled for from the ends of the earth, they are going to be instruments of judgment on his people, true, but they are also going to be judged themselves. And when the axe fell in judgment on Assyria and Babylon, this is the contrast, this axe was going to prevail and it would fall without any hope for them. God proclaims to Isaiah that in regard to the Assyrians, when their terrifying armies have finished their work, his anger will be directed to their destruction. So yes, God's people were estranged from him. And yes, there was this decreed clear-cutting, deforestation, or destruction of the nation. They were going to be cut down from being the sand of the sea to stumps in the land. And as we know, even in that bleak picture, there was a remnant that would return. So in our text tonight, what we have is springtime is going to come to Israel. There's going to be a return. There's going to be an arrival, Advent. There's going to be new life from a stump. There's going to be true reforestation of God's people through the fruitful work of the branch, the perfect king. And this glimpse that we have in Isaiah 11 is building upon, and Jeff mentioned this morning, the prophecy about a child, unto us a child is to be born, and there's going to be a son given, and there's going to be a child born to a virgin who's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. So that's the context, and that's the background of this passage. So tonight I have 3 points. First of all, in verse 1, we have the promise of the branch. The second point is in verse 2, the gifting of the branch, and verses 3 to 5, the work of the branch. So the promise of the branch, the gifting of the branch, and the work of the branch. First, the promise of the branch. In verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. So then, we have this clear cutting of God's people that's coming, and even worse judgment upon those who are going to do the cutting. But Advent is coming. Spring is going to arrive. Out of the stump of Jesse, new growth, a tender shoot, will sprout. The former glory of David's kingdom and of Solomon's kingdom is going to be reduced to a stump in the land. And from a human perspective, it would seem to be no hope for recovery, the effect of this deforestation. And what's interesting here that says is that the royal family, David's family, has fallen so low that he's not mentioned in this passage. John Calvin suggests here that David's family appears to be completely extinct, and that he had sunk so low that there was no longer a royal family, but a peasant family, like that of his father, Jesse. Now, as you may remember, Jesse was a shepherd, and that's David's father, a shepherd from Bethlehem, no doubt. So not only would the tender shoot sprout from the stump, but growth would continue into a branch that would bear fruit. So this reforestation is not going to be hindered. The shoot is going to develop into a branch. Notice also in this promise in verse 1, it does not say that a shoot may come forth or that a branch may bear fruit, but there's this strong assertion that it shall come forth. And it shall bear fruit. Notice also that the text doesn't talk about shoots. It talks about a shoot. And it doesn't talk about branches. It talks about a branch. So the growing point, the shoot, the branch, out of the stump of Jesse will be one person. The tree of Israel is felled but not finished. And this makes a telling contrast to the raised forest of Assyria, which is referenced in chapter 10. There's this contrast where there's going to be a growing point from the stump of Jesse, which is one man. So 800 years later, after Isaiah was given this prophecy, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans in chapter 15, verses 8 and 9 and 12, would speak of that one man, the root of Jesse, and I read these verses, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy." And again, Isaiah says, again, Paul writing here, "The root of Jesse will come, and he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope." So centuries passed, 800 years passed, but the shoot did indeed come forth, and the branch did indeed bear fruit. So Christ's advent, his arrival, springtime for God's people, came as promised. Okay, so that's point one, the promise of the branch. Second, point two is the gifting of the branch. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." The shoot out of the stump of Jesse will be supernaturally and richly endued or gifted, not partially gifted. The Spirit of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, shall rest upon him in a threefold way. First, in wisdom and understanding for government. Isaiah also talks about the government would be upon his shoulders, and of the increase of his government or rule, there will be no end. Second, there's this spirit of counsel and might, which is referring to war, spiritual warfare, as the wonderful counselor and the mighty God, as the upholder and defender of his people, not only against the empires of this world, but against the cosmic powers. From Ephesians, we read in Ephesians 6, verse 12, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Thirdly, there is this spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord for spiritual leadership, ruling over his kingdom with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and evermore. So the branch there, then, the person to whom God's people would be, so to speak, reforested from Jesse's stump, was promised and he was gifted for a purpose, for he had work to do, has work to do and had work to do and has work to do. Point one, then, is the promise of the branch. Point two is the gifting of the branch. Point three is the work of the branch. Verses 3-5, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The promised branch, who's gifted by the Spirit, will be the guide, guardian, and example to his people. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. The idea is that the branch, as he carries out the Lord's work, it will be fragrant to him. He will delight in doing it. It will be his joy and his purpose in his ministry. So in judgment, as guide, he will not need to see or hear before making a decision. Now, this is something interesting found out in reflecting on this passage and reading some commentaries. Calvin points out that the idea here in this passage about where he will decide and judge not by seeing or by hearing is that it's the idea in the Hebrew of a keen sense of smell. I learned a new word in the English language. It's called sagacious. Sagacious. I don't think I learned it yet. I can't say it, but it means to be shrewd or discerning. So the branch, he's not going to need to learn, he will not need to learn from what he hears or from what he sees. For by smelling alone, he will perceive what would otherwise be known. He has this discernment and all-knowing, I think is the idea. So we don't often think of Christ as smelling the situation when he sees the people before him. As guardian, the branch will protect the poor and level the playing field for the meek. The meek being those who have humbled themselves and who, after recognizing their spiritual poverty, they have learned to be quiet and gentle in their kingdom service. With the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips is also mentioned in these verses. This is the branch defeating his enemies and those of God's people and destroying wickedness, not through armies, not through power in that sense of armies, but by simply speaking the word of God. He is an example to his people. As an example to his people, he will have a belt of righteousness for his waist and a belt of faithfulness for his loins. Now, I was trying to figure out the difference between loins and waist. And as far as I can tell, it's the same. It's between your hips and your ribs. Although loins also has the idea of the kind of the front part of your waist. But we all know what belts are for. They keep your clothes together and kind of keep you together. There's this idea of support and holding together, but the idea here seems to be that Christ or the branch is going to be held together, immovably together, so that he will completely fulfill everything that God has appointed him to do. So in other words, this work of what I call reforestation is going to be fulfilled to the end and will be completed. So we've looked at the promise of the branch that spring is coming. The stump of judgment is not the end of God's people. A shoot shall come forth, a branch will bear fruit. Secondly, there is the gifting of the branch. He is supernaturally gifted by the Spirit of the Lord. He was gifted in a threefold way, for spiritual government, spiritual warfare, and spiritual leadership. And point three was the work of the branch. He delights in the fear of the Lord as the guide, guardian, and example to his people. So what is the application, and what can we conclude from all this? What is the message for us tonight, 2,800 years after Isaiah received this prophecy? What does it mean for a stump in Israel, a stump in Judah, and a branch, a shoot, and then a branch coming out of it? Well, I would suggest to you that in this season of Advent, it is a message of hope. It is hope in the sense that God is faithful to his promises, that spring did arrive, that this renewing reforestation did indeed start from the tender shoot born in Bethlehem, and that the extension of the branch's kingdom is underway even now throughout the entire world. Fruit is being born daily. The people of God are not endangered, nor are they estranged anymore. The stump of Jesse has grown into a mighty tree with fruit from every tribe and language and nation for his glory.